Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Good Life, food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Good Life. I'm glad you stopped by KNSS. Don't forget, it's every Saturday here on 1330 and 98.7. And this program is going to be so much fun. As you have heard from the past from me, I am an avid Spanish food and wine enthusiast. Having lived there for nearly 4 years, meeting my wife there, been back several times since. There is nothing better, and the country has changed so much. When I was there, it was literally just post-Franco. I got there in January of 78, and just the changes in that almost four-year period while I was there was remarkable. And then to go back after the Olympics in Barcelona and some political upheaval that died away, and Basque terrorism died away, and watch the growth and see the number of condos built on the highway from Torrejon Air Base south to Madrid, the industrial complex, just an amazing thing. The person I'm going to talk to today and introduce you to is Susan Lewis-Solomon. She had the awesome task, the exciting task, and the most pleasurable task of being married to the appointed ambassador to Spain. And if you have ever traveled to or decided that, hey, you have to move to a foreign country, this is a challenge. No matter where that country is, no matter what your enthusiasm is, it's a challenge. And to uproot your family and do it, Susan did it. And then she started writing letters back to her friends. And these letters turned into a book. And this book is so cool. It's called Lost and Found in Spain, Tales of an Ambassador's Wife, by my guest, Susan Solomon. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Guy. It's just a pleasure to be here. I love your introduction of me as well. You captured it.
Well, it's not good enough because your bio is long, and this is a good way to start start explaining your journey. You were very active, socially and politically involved, fundraising philanthropist in the Northeast.
Well, that's correct. I am very fortunate, and it's that I've enjoyed a wonderful career in the field of philanthropy, helping foundations and individuals and companies give money away. I loved my work. My husband and I have always been involved politically. We care deeply about the community and the world we live in. So we've been very fortunate to have a very rewarding, satisfying life when, from out of the blue, we were asked, well, he was officially asked by President Obama to serve as his ambassador to Spain and Andorra, a country you know well, I know well. And in your introduction, what's interesting is my first trip to Spain was in 1976, right after Franco died.
Yeah.
Or actually, it was right before he did.
Yeah.
And then my husband's next trip back was for the Barcelona Olympics. So there was that big space where the country underwent a significant transformation.
I just can't imagine. So you had enthusiasm for Spain. You knew what Spain could be like, and you had a taste of it. But sitting in your kitchen or wherever you were when your husband took the phone call, and then he gets off the phone, I think in my house with that experience, with my experience, there would have been cheers and yays and then, holy crap, we got to do this.
Well, in our house, my husband was, wow, I can't believe Spain. I love Spain. And I was like, oh, no, this is a reality. This is going to happen. And I had a little bit more fear about it than great enthusiasm. And frankly, it had been a good 35, 40 years since I had been in Spain. It was a totally different part of my life, a time in my life. You know, it was my college, actually it was 75, it was my junior year in college. and I was visiting friends, and they took me everywhere. We went all through Madrid, and I have this really great but a little foggy memory of a lot of sangria and maybe some churros in the morning.
Oh, God.
But, you know, you put me in the streets and I would say, I don't know whether to go left or right to get to Retiro Park or to get to the Plaza Mayor. So it was there was a lot of space in between, and I was aware how much the country had changed, but I had not been back in those years.
How was your Spanish?
It's lo siento. Mi español no es suficiente por mi hablar solamente en español. I needed to really take Spanish lessons and immerse myself in the language. And if I were looking back, if I had a do-over in any way, I would have immersed myself even deeper and farther. I would have studied every single day of my life up until the time I got on that plane. I didn't have that timetable, and I didn't have that ability. I continued to take Spanish lessons every day, cada día, in Spain. It is still on my list of things, is to really make myself fluent. I'm not fluent, I have to sadly admit, but I want to be.
I used to say I was restaurant fluent, but not political fluent.
Uh-huh.
So I would avoid those conversations. But so there you are. You've got two young daughters, a cute little dog, your husband who is thrilled. And by the way, anybody who gets offered an ambassadorship should be thrilled. And then to get to go to a place like Spain then is a remarkable thing. You have to pack everybody up, convince everybody it's going to be a great adventure, fly long and hard. And the section in the book where you talk about your arrival that first day, jet-lagged and all, going into the palatial entrance and with the guards. And I have been past the embassy and the ambassador's house a couple of different times and wondered what a great job this would be post-military for me.
Well, yes. We used to call these pinch-me moments.
Yeah.
First of all, being asked to be an ambassador is an enormous privilege and honor. And I'm so proud of the work my husband did overseas. He got up every morning and thought about what is going to be the best thing he could do to work on improving relationships. And relationships were very strong with Spain and the U.S. But how could I work to make them even better? He worked enormously hard. Now, I really want your listeners to know that. People sometimes think, you know, ambassadors and their spouses or partners, you know, are drinking tea all day long and entertaining. We worked. Both of us worked very hard. And we were fortunate to live in a beautiful home right in the Salamanca barrio in Madrid, right in the heart of the city. Our embassy was right next door, so we both got to really almost, you lived above the shop, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it was an enormous, you know, we took this responsibility very seriously and wanted to really do the best job we could and work as hard as we could. And we did, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, you should be. And speaking of work, though, you left a lot of work that you did, some of it, I imagine the brunt of it, non-paid, board members and things, and now you're suddenly thrown into this. But I would think that you especially would gravitate to two things. One, you've always been a woman's rights and that kind of thing, but being a part of the political entertainment, the political sophistication, I think that would have been attractive to you. But you did focus more, it seems to be, on getting involved and nurturing those things that you kind of did back in the States, but for Spanish femininity.
You're right. When I first got there, the role was stand and smile. There is no role for a U.S. ambassador's spouse or partner. Other countries have roles for them. And I'm not sure I would advocate that we should have a set, you know, sort of job description for the spouse. However, I do think there should be some openness to allow the partner and spouse to explore within the embassy's priorities what they could do. So ultimately and eventually, through a lot of hard work and a lot of openness on people's part, I was able to forge a role to help women, business women in Spain, women who are the heads of companies like Hewlett-Packard or Bristol-Myers or Facebook or Google or Kindle, or, you know, all these American companies are headed up by Spanish women over there. Plus, there are women in the food industry, in the wine industry, in the fashion industry, who are doing amazing things. So I was able to carve a role to help shine a light on what they were doing. And why is that in the embassy's, you know, priority list? It's because it's a business relationship. It's a cultural relationship. It's a sharing of values. It was relationships that we helped companies do business in the United States, and we helped U.S. businesses do business in Spain. So there was a real strategic reason for me to get involved in this work. And I had to, it took some doing, because embassies, it's like the military, they have responsibilities and strategies and priorities, and everybody has their role, and everybody's super busy working super hard. So here's somebody else saying, well, can I do this? I had to make sure it was in doing with what the embassy wanted, and luckily it was, and people who worked at U.S. Embassy Madrid and Spanish people really loved this relationship and this way to draw our cultures tighter together. But let me also say, the social role, the entertaining role, also, I grew to love it. You know, I got there, and when somebody said to me, help plan the menu, that wasn't really my vocabulary, so to speak. And ultimately, I learned how to do it, work with our chef, work with our protocol teams, and plan things that were also strategic, so that they weren't just, let's have people over so we could share dinner, which is an important thing to do, let's all break bread. But it was, what are some of our priorities, and how do we find the people, whether it be cultural or economic, that will help create these relationships that matter. And it was a pleasure to do so. You know, you'd have small dinners for 8 people, or you'd have large events like our July 4th for over 3,000 people. Oh. So, you know, it really runs the gamut here.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of that gamut. We'll focus on the food and wine fun that you had, and I know you did. But more importantly, the important role of the ambassador. He's overseeing pretty much everything under the umbrella of the United States, from the military to the embassy to all these things. And you were a part of that. It's so cool. And I'm not jealous. I'm not envious. I just wish in another day, in another life, I could have chosen a path that would have led to that. Take a break. We come back. We'll talk with Susan. I want you to do, though, is go to her website. This is easy. It's Susan Solomont, SolomonT.com. And you can learn about her. You can get a copy of the book. There's links at goodlifeguy.com. You got to get it. It was a great summer read. It'll be a great winter read. And pass it along to your friends. If you've never been to Spain, you'll be hungry and thirsty and dying to get a book a ticket. We'll be right back with Susan after this short break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.